Well, it is always good to be saved, guys. You know, this world is in a mess, and our country is in a mess, and I hope things get better, you know, under the next president, but I am of the belief that America is not going to vote its way out of its problems. But when you see the mess that the country's in, sometimes you almost get hopeless, and sometimes you almost forget it's good to be saved. It's always good to be saved. I can tell you what happened. Two things. Yesterday, you know what I saw in the airport? I can't believe it. Some woman walking right through the airport shamelessly wearing a man bun. What is this country coming to? I am telling you. I mean, it just, I was just shocked. Anyway, I was out one day and I came home. And I told my wife, I said, babe, you will never believe what I saw today. I was shocked. I really was. This actually happened. I saw three kids, young kids, 10, 12, whatever, three boys riding their bikes without helmets. I promptly ran over all three of them. And I told Kathy, I said, babe, I said, these three young boys, I said, they were riding their bikes without helmets. I said, it was almost like the way the country was before women ran it. And look, I'm going to say this, and it may upset you, but this is a fact. Our nation is run by overbearing women and effeminate men.
That's right.
Now, lady, don't come up after church and tell me you disagree. Oh, no.
Yeah, come on.
Just look to your husband and say, get up there and tell him, worm. I'll still know, okay? But that really is it. You know why politicians in Washington, you know, I say this, Democrats are crooks, but Republicans are cowards. Republicans have no spine, and you know why? Because they can't say one thing without going, well, how will a woman react? That's one thing I say about the president-elect. He doesn't seem to worry about what anybody thinks, which has got the overbearing women and the effeminate men very upset. But we've got this, there's this thing going around. You've heard it. And it is a spirit. And it is this, I don't want to offend anybody. We shouldn't offend. Guys, I want you to look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at a Bible truth. You know what Bible truth is? It's a Bible truth. You know what that means? Means that your vote doesn't matter, your opinion doesn't matter, whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. You know, I don't like the fact, you say salvation is by grace. You like that fact? Well, the fact that most of the gifts before I got saved went to hell, no, I don't like that fact. But they went to hell. You know why? Because it's a Bible fact. And so I'm going to read you a verse that you need, maybe this will be one of your memory verses. Look what it says in verse 11. Paul says this, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your very, very great kindness. And I say it again, God, there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with this book. Lord God, I may be the most messed up guy in this whole room, but we're all messed. We're all messed up. We all need you, God. You know, I know people say flippantly that Christians are a work in progress, but that's what we are. And I pray, God, that you get some work done in me and all these other people today, that when the sun goes down on this day, every one of us will be at least one step in the direction you would have us go, just at least one step in the right direction. Some little thing in our life would change to your glory, God, and to our sanctification. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, look at it again. It says this, the very, very end of it. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Then there is an offense to the cross. Isn't that true? Now, here's what you're saying. You're on your way to heaven. Are you? And you're on your way to heaven. Why? Because you trusted the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the sole and complete payment for your sin. Right? But did you ever notice you're never upset with something you agree with? But people get upset with something they don't agree with. You don't see an offense to the cross, but do you remember a time when you did? Some of you got very offended. You know, I heard of a guy doing this. It's a good thing this guy was the soul winner after, not me. This guy went to this guy's house. He was doing door to door, knocked this guy's house, and the guy threw him out. He said, get off my porch, get out of my yard, blah, blah, blah. And a couple days later, he came back again, and the guy threw him off again. And about a week later, he came back again. The guy said, get out of my porch. And This guy kept going back and back. Now look, I'm sorry. I care about your soul, but not a whole lot more than you do. And after about two or three times, I'm done. This guy went back 50 times, 50 times, got thrown off the property, and the 51st time led him to Christ. But 50 times, the gospel, the cross, offended him. The 51st, he humbled himself and accepted the gospel. You understand? So, we've got this thing now, you know, where, well, I just don't want to upset anybody. Let me explain this, okay? Kid's going to go and play football. Dad and mom are standing there. Now, this is how it works. Kid's going to go and play football. Here's what the old man says. Son, hit him hard. Make him cry. Oh, they don't say that. I hope they do. Man, they were doing an interview with one of these linemen. I don't know what they, I like football, but I can't even, I know the center and the quarterback and everything else they've changed names on. And I'm a quarterback. Just not much here. Three quarters of a back I don't have. But anyway, I think maybe talking to Dick Butkus or something. And they said, you know, these guys were, you know, like they'd hit you. They were like chiropractic tackles. They just rattled all your bones. And they asked this lineman, you know, this tackle guy, and he said, how do you know when you say, I feel like I've done my job? And he said, when I really hit a guy, and as I'm getting up, and he's laying on the ground, he goes, Mom? He said, that's what I know. And he said, I'll bet it doesn't happen. Bet it does. You know, the oldest football rivalry in history is my hometown, Masson Tigers, and the Canton McKinley Bulldogs, 8 miles away. Masson, where I am from, is where football started. First pro football team was my hometown, Masson Tigers. And they were undefeated for like 6 or 7 years. Until somebody started the second pro football team. My hometown, 33,000 people. Our high school stadium seats 24,000 people. I like football, okay? And so you get out there and you hit them hard. And one time in this match, when the NFL was celebrating the 75th birthday, we were playing our 100th game against McKinley. And when I was a senior, I didn't play because I was too small. But a guy in my class, he was whatever he was hitman. I think that's a position. A guy from McKinley comes around the end, and this guy from Masson hit him. I mean, just literally, I mean, it hit him so hard, it dislocated his dad's shoulder sitting up in the stands. And about three plays or four plays later, maybe even a quarter later, they called that same play. Same guy gets the ball, comes around the same end. This guy in my class comes around the same end. The guy had the ball and he looked and he saw that guy and they said, the ball just fell out of his hands. That's what you do. Okay. So here the kids go out and play football and the old man says, go in there, hit him hard, make him cry. And then the mom says, oh no, honey, don't you hit him that hard because you're going to hurt somebody and then you'll feel bad. Do you know who's right? Both of them. You say, really? Yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't mean what they say is right. The way they approach it is right. That is the way a man ought to approach it. And that is the way a woman ought to approach it. Man, I don't want women to be like men.
Yeah, amen.
Good night, man. Ladies, if you end up being like men, who's going to be like women? Because I got news for the guys that are trying it. That ain't working.
Amen.
But here's what happens. The old man says, go hit him hard. Mom says, don't hit him too hard. Then the kid goes on plays. And this is where the transaction comes. This is where the change comes. Mom looks at the dad and says, now you shouldn't tell him that because he's going to hurt somebody someday. And then you're going to feel bad for telling him that. And he goes, you're right, honey. I'm sorry. He just became effeminate.
Yep.
She just became overbearing.
Yep.
Ladies, men say some things that upset you. But I'm going to tell you why. They're men. They're men. Okay? That's just how it is. And now our country is effeminate. It really is. Everything is about don't offend a woman.
Right.
And if you say, well, I've heard men say it. I told you, overbearing women and effeminate men.
Yeah.
Most Republican men are effeminate men, okay? And most Democratic men are just plain women. But there is an offense to the gospel. You say, who's offended by the gospel? You know who's offended by the gospel? A righteous person. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, you know that, and I know that, correct? Now, let me ask you a question. Don't you think there'd be a bunch of lost people out there would argue that point? Don't you think there's a bunch of lost people? You ready for this? are doing more for their God than some of you are doing for the real God? And they would argue that point. Don't you think there's some folks that are doing some things? I mean, you know, sports figures. Some of those guys actually do care. You know, you see the NFL players and they're all in the hospital with kids and they don't care. And they're going, this nice baby, what, the camera's off? Give me this kid. But some of them really do care. There are football players and they're putting some, or sports figures, they're putting some money into some kind of charity. There are some actors that are actually trying to help people. I'll give you an example. I do not know if Gary Sinise, the actor, is a saved man. I don't know. But you know what he did? He's a multimillionaire. And I'm sure he spent a lot of money on his own self. But you know what? He paid to build an entire hospital so that veterans coming back from the Mideast War would have a place to come. Now, you're in favor of our veterans, right? Well, that guy's done more than you have. Well, he's got more money. I bet you if he had his money, you still wouldn't. But here's the thing. Here's a guy who is doing something. Is what he's doing for veterans, is it not good? And here's what you're going to say. Man, you built this whole hospital for these veterans, right? Yeah. Nobody else ever did this before. Yeah, I know. And I'm going to go to heaven for it. And you go, well, actually, you're not. Guys, that's offensive. That offends somebody. I know this will be hard for you to believe. I'm not an Oprah Winfrey fan. Okay? When I cry, it's just because I want to, not because she made me. But let me tell you what Oprah Winfrey did. Oprah Winfrey opened a school someplace, I don't know what country, someplace in Africa. She opened a school for African girls to get an education. And I've heard it. I've heard them say, you know, some stories that there's problems with it. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. But here, let me ask you this. Don't you think that there are going to be some young girls in Africa that are going to get an education because that school is there that they would not have gotten if that school was not there? Yeah. Now, I don't know if Oprah Winfrey's saved, but I'll tell you this. If she's not, she's going to hell. Well, what about the school? She's still going to hell. Guys, here's the problem. You got people that do good things. They do some good things. And when they're done, don't you think they feel good about it? I don't even mean righteous. Don't you think they just feel good about it? You guys have parades, I'm sure. And every now and then you have a parade, and somewhere in there, you got a bunch of guys on little mini bikes and little cars with a little red fez on top of their head, and they're going back and forth, and they're the Shriners. Now, I am not for any secret organization. I've only been the member of one secret organization in my life. It was when I was 9 years old. It was the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Say, when did you quit? When I discovered girls. What was wrong with me? But, and so I'm a member of a church. I'm not a member of anything else. I'm a member of a local church. But, you know, Shriners and those guys, you know, they're secret organizations. And really, they're just some kind of a religion. That's what they are. They won't admit it, but they are. But you know what Shriners have? They got a hospital for nothing but children with burns. And when you take your child to that hospital, they don't charge you one penny. Now, you're sitting there going, well, they're all trying to work way to heaven. You're going to say it that way until your kid gets burnt. And then you're going to take your kid there. And you know those guys, there are a bunch of children. Look, I am not promoting St. Jude's Hospital. My goodness, it's Roman Catholic charity. I'm not going to give a dime to it. But do you know that St. Jude's Hospital does not charge anybody a dime? And it's St. Jude's Children's Hospital. I mean, you can get upset with people, but come on, let's give kids a break, right? So here's this, these Shriners, here's these guys, they're raising money for this burn hospital. Here's people raising money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And then you know what we do? Here's what we say. That's really good, but it's not good enough. Isn't that what the gospel says? If you think about it, now you aren't trying to do anything good to get to heaven. So you don't relate to this. But out there, are there not? Do you understand that environmentalism, we call them nuts, but the fact is it's just a religion. And they think that they're going to get to heaven because my wife and I were in Australia a few years ago. We're walking down the street. And here's how the rationale works out. God made the world. Is that true? Okay. But they don't stop there. God made the world. So serving the world is serving God. And that's exactly how some people are righteous. In fact, you know why environmentalism is on the rise? Environmentalism and animal rights get stronger and stronger as our nation gets more immoral. Because immoral people know they're immoral and they want to feel moral about something. So you know what they do? They gotta preserve a piece of dirt. But those people, you know, save a whale. I saved a whale. And then you know what you say? Won't do you a bit of good. You know, I don't tell people this very often, but we actually do work with the Save the Whale group. Only one time. I'll have some meetings in Hawaii, and when I'm in Hawaii, we work with the Save the Whale group. I waited one time for 3 weeks for a whale to show up at the beach. Two very large women got upset with me, and I had them rolled into the surf. But anyway, I'm going to tell you that the gospel is offensive to a righteous man. You know why the gospel is offensive? The gospel is offensive because Jesus is God. Did you ever hear anybody say this? Well, I think Jesus is good. I'm not got nothing against Jesus. Well, man, he ranks right up there with Mahatma Gandhi and Confucius and all them other good people. No, he doesn't. You know why? Because all those other people were sinners, needed a Savior, and he's the Savior they needed. If you want to put Jesus Christ in a list, here's what you do. Put 1 through 10 or 1 through 100 or 1 through 1,000. I don't care. You make Jesus Christ number one, and from 2 on down, leave it blank. Don't you ever put another name on that plate, on that paper, because there's nobody else goes in that list. Isn't that true?
Right.
Now, I don't care who you think is a great man, and the world has their list of great people, you know, but the fact is, I don't care who they are, they are not on the same list as Jesus Christ, because he was a great teacher. He was a great teacher. He was a good man. He was a good man. He did a lot of good things. He absolutely did a lot of good things, and you can say that about a bunch of lost people, too. But he was God, and you can't say that about anybody else. Jesus was God. It is not a case of comparing Jesus to everybody else. It is everybody's comparing himself to everybody else, but nobody can compare to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ negates every religion in the world. The guy that says baptism is going to do it, nope, that's not going to do it. It's going to be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The guy that thinks that, you know, beating his back raw with a whip at Easter time, or in the Philippines, getting yourself nailed to a cross for the Catholic Church, thinks that's going to do it. Guys, would you do that? Man, I'm telling you what, I'm not in for it, okay? And can you imagine a guy getting himself crucified for his God? People walk up steps on their knees till by the time there's a trail of blood because their knees are bleeding. They're at some Catholic shrine. And then you say, that is very dedicated. It is very dedicated, is it not? Misguided dedication, but it's very dedicated, isn't it? And then you say, but that is not going to get you to heaven. That's offensive. Guys, Jesus Christ offends every single religion there is. I got to tell you what happened. I told you I was raised Roman Catholic. And I went to this Baptist church. It was like this church right here, except that there were 5,000 people in it. Now, guys, that's either a big church, an aircraft carrier, or the capital of South Dakota. But anyway, I'm going to this for 4 or 5 months. I'm going to this Catholic church. I mean, this Baptist church. And they are just hip and thigh hacking my Catholic church, you know, calls himself Father and dresses like Mother. You know, I mean, they're ripping on the Pope and ripping on everything about the Catholic church. And I'm listening to it. I'm not upset because I wasn't crazy about it. But one day I'm riding with a Christian, and we're driving down the road. I'm riding, and did you ever just like read something and say it out loud? Maybe to prove you can read. I don't know, but I wasn't thinking, and I just saw a sign, and I just said the sign. I read the sign, and it was Holy Rosary Monastery. So we drive past this, and I just went Holy Rosary Monastery. I mean, I just said it. I didn't even say anything about it. And this Christian goes, oh, the rosary. And at that moment, you know what I realized? That Baptist church has ripped up everything about my Catholic faith. The only thing they ain't ripped up yet is the rosary. And I look over and go, what is wrong with the rosary? They went, just a bunch of beads. Oh, man, I was hot. And you know what I said inside my heart? Didn't say it out loud. I said, there goes my rosary. You know why? Because in here I knew, just a bunch of beads. You know what your problem is, guys? You say, I don't want to offend somebody. You know what your problem is? You think that offending them means they'll never get saved. Probably some of you got mad when you heard the gospel before you got saved. Isn't that right? Guys, sometimes that is what we need. I'm not telling you to try to make people mad. I am simply telling you that sometimes getting mad is the only thing that gets you thinking, okay? So it makes people mad if they're righteous. It makes them mad because it is Jesus or Jesus or Jesus or Jesus without exception. There's not another way. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Well, I'll go my own way. You'll go to hell. Well, I think I'm a pretty good man. Maybe you are. Well, I've been true to my wife. I've been good to my kids. I've given a lot of charity. Man, you beat a bunch of Christians I know. You're still going to hell. Man, guys, understand? Do you understand how offensive that is? I'm going to tell you why it's offensive. Because the people that go to hell could have gone to heaven. You ever sing this song? The way of the cross leads home. Isn't that true? Isn't that saying this? Here's the cross and all that it means. To get to heaven, here's heaven. And we can't go to heaven. We can't go to heaven unless we go through the cross. Correct? So we have to come to the cross, realize Jesus Christ was God, that he wasn't paying for any sins of his own. He was paying for our sins because he had none to pay for. So that he was God. He paid for our sins. He died. And then never forget this. He rose again the third day.
Right.
You say, well, I know that. Oh. That's part of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, that is part of the definition of the gospel. The gospel is not Jesus died for your sins. The gospel is Jesus died for your sins and rose again. You know why that's part of the gospel? I tell people this. Think about this. What good is a religion if it can't get the founder out of a hole in the ground? Do you understand today that Joseph Smith, founder of the Mormons, is just a pile of dust? Do you understand that Judge Rutherford, founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, is just a pile of dust? Do you understand that Confucius is just a pile of dust? Do you understand that Buddha is a rather large pile of dust? Why would you want a God? Why would you want a religion whose founder has to be afraid of a Hoover sweeper? I mean, somebody might go, oh, that was my God. October of 14, a little over 2 years ago, Kathy and I and some other folks went over to Israel. And it's nice. It's nice, you know. And we went into the tomb. You say, you think that's a tomb? Yeah, I think that's a tomb. You really think the one they called? Yeah, I think that's the tomb. Yeah. You think maybe nobody's fooling you? I think I've been fooled. I don't think I'm being fooled here. If you know where Calvary is, that tomb is right around the corner from Calvary. It is. You know where it is? It's in the middle of a garden. It's not in a graveyard. The graveyard is about 3 or 4 miles on the other side of the city. You know where the graveyard is? At the top of Calvary. And it's a Muslim graveyard. But where Jesus was buried, that tomb. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but when they buried somebody in Old Testament or in Bible days, the Jews would bury somebody and leave them in that tomb for about a year or two, and then they would take that body out and put it somewhere else and use that tomb again. Remember when it said he went into a new tomb where never a man had lain? Well, I mean, come on, man. Everybody we bury, they go in a tomb where nobody's ever been before. Isn't that right? We're not recycling coffins, but they recycled them. When they found that tomb that they say is the tomb where Jesus Christ was, forensic scientists went in there and dusted it and checked the dust. They found no human DNA, nothing as ever, no human body has ever decomposed in that grave. That grave's been there all those years and never been used. No, it was used once. It's just barred for 3 days. He wasn't staying, okay? And I'm telling you, you can go to the grave of Mohammed, and you can go to the grave of Buddha, and you can go to the grave of Confucius, and you go to the grave of Joseph Smith. Guys, now don't you think this in the Mormons, of all important people, don't you think the guy that started it would be the most important? Don't you think Mohammed is the most important Muslim? Don't you think that Rutherford is the most important Jehovah's Witness? And the religion couldn't get them out of a hole in the ground. So never say Jesus died for your sins. Say Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That is the second. That is the completion of the gospel. So here's what you got to do. I want to go to heaven. I got to come to the cross. Realize that Jesus Christ was God, that he died, was buried, and rose again for the payment for my sin. I accept that payment as my own. The way of the cross leads home, correct? You know, somebody needs to write a new song too, because that one's true. You know what the name of the new song would be? The way of the cross leads to hell. So what do you mean? You know how you go to hell? Come to the same cross. Realize the same thing. And say, well, that's okay. I'm a church member. That'll get me in. Oh, no, that's okay. I'm not a bad person. Guys, do you understand when somebody goes to hell, they go to hell and they could have gone to heaven? You know, I imagine people have gone to hell from all kinds of places. You know the scariest, the saddest place to go to hell from? I do not know in 46 years of preaching how many invitations I have been in. But I think about this. Somebody stands in here. The invitation is given. The Holy Spirit says, go up there and get saved. And they go, next week. And they're dead before next week. They're dead that afternoon. You know what I tell people? Church is a terrible place to go to hell from. Go to hell from a bar. Go to hell from some depraved college dorm. Go to hell from some sin hole somewhere out there, okay? Guys, can you imagine, do you understand today as I speak to you beneath our feet in the center of this earth is hell? And I will guarantee you there are, by this time, millions of people who stood an invitation and they went to hell from a church. You know why? Because they believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection, but they would not accept that payment as the payment for their sins. You know why it's offensive? Because the people who go to hell didn't have to go. You'd go to hell if you didn't get saved, right? But wasn't that your choice? And so when you refuse heaven, when you don't choose heaven, aren't you choosing hell? And who wants to be told you chose hell? And so guys, there is naturally an offense to the cross. It's okay, so what do I do? I'll tell you what you do. Now, here's what I tell people. If I tell you the truth and that offends you, you need to get right. If I tell you the truth and the way I tell you offends you, I need to get right. Some of the brethren, they think they need to take the gospel and paint it or write it on the head of a ball-peen hammer, smack somebody in the head, and when they go, hey, stop that, I go, can't take that truth. You know what the book says? That we give them the truth in what? In love. You know, sometimes I hear my preacher friends, they'll say, I stand without apology. Man, I hate to tell you this, guys. Over the years, I've stood with apology. Look, I just stand. I take the stand. I stand with apology. I'll tell you apology I made one time. I'd just taken the church. I pastored a church for 5 years in upstate New York. I got out on good behavior. But I'd just taken this church. Been there maybe a month or two. Didn't really know the people well. But there's a lady there, a young woman. She's in the church. And she comes into my office, her and her fiance. Both saved. Very much in love. Want to get saved. Want to serve God. And I'll guarantee your preacher will understand this. Maybe some of you won't. But you're talking to somebody and they're telling you how much they want to serve God. And something just isn't ringing. I mean, it all sounds right. They're saying the right thing. But something just... So they're telling me, you know, they want to serve God. They want to get married. But something isn't ringing right. And so I ask a question, and no, I get the right answer. And I ask about 4 or 5 questions, and got the right answer, and got the right answer. And I just couldn't. So I thought, well, this must be me. So I gave up. And I said, so when do you guys want to get married? And the woman says, oh, as soon as his divorce is final. I said, whoa, 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 lady. I said, are you telling me you're sitting in my office with some other woman's husband planning your marriage? Well, yeah, but he's got, I said, well, no, look, lady. I said, I do not deny that you two are in love. But God did not put you two together. And I am sorry, but I can't have anything to do with this. I didn't have to jump up on my desk and go, ah, bless God, it's sin. I didn't have to do that. Hey, when you got married, didn't you ask somebody, the person you asked, wasn't that a very special person? And they wanted me to be part of that. And you know what I tell them? I'm sorry. It wasn't compromise to say I'm sorry. It's not compromise, guys, to tell the truth. In love. Give you an example. I have a cold, having a little trouble with my voice. I broke my neck in 1973. And when they did a surgery, they cut my throat to over here in 73. And you know, you may not know this, all of you got this. Now, your brain is here and your vocal cords are here, and a nerve goes from your brain to your vocal cords to make them work. Does that make sense? Here's what doesn't make sense. That nerve doesn't go from here to here. It goes from here all the way down around the aorta and back up. Now, when it's a little embryo inside a mother, that's not a very far thing. Say, why did God run the wiring that way? He did it. I don't know. But the nerve for your vocal cords doesn't go straight from the brain to the vocal cords. It goes all the way down. Now you can see as you grow from this to this, this nerve goes, that's a ways. So when they cut on this side, they affect that nerve. I lost my voice for 4 months. For 4 months, I talked like this. And they came back, but they never came back all the way. And then in 08, now that was 73, they cut me here. 08, they cut me here. 13, they cut me here. They want to do 2 more surgeries. I only got 1 place to do it. I'm holding out for more money. But I had to go in before the 08 surgery to a vocal cord guy. And he says, your vocal cords are partially paralyzed. I said, yeah, I know. Think about it this way. Your vocal cords work like a bellows, air going through them, correct? Okay. I need more air than you do. If let's say they operate on 5 pounds of air going through the system, I need about 8 or 9. Sometimes at the end of a sentence, I'll just get very breathy because I'm putting more air out to talk. Consequently, if I shout a lot, if I shouted as loud as I could right now, you would not hear the next 3 words because I couldn't talk. I don't preach on the street because if I preached on the street, last time I preached on the street for 3 months, I couldn't speak. And then I lost it for 2 weeks after the second surgery. But anyway, I know, now when I preached, believe it or not, when I pastored, I used to yell, man, I screamed, I did that, bless God. But when I went into evangelism, I went from preaching 2 times on Sunday, because Sunday school isn't preaching and Wednesday night wasn't preaching. So it was only 2 times, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I went from yelling 2 times on Sunday to preaching Sunday school, well, not Sunday school, but Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Drive Saturday, then Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. You know what's going to happen to my vocal cords? They're not going to last. And I came to a great truth. You know what this great truth is? Tell me if this is not true. Truth whispered is still true. Guys, if I know this and you don't, and I say this, hey guys, look, I see flame and smoke back there. This building's on fire. We need to get out of here. Is it still true, right? I don't have to go, fire! Right? I don't have to scream it. I gotta, in fact, calm is probably a better way. Guys, the building's on fire. Follow me. Anyway, but truth whispered is still true, correct? I had to learn that truth. I have an evangelist friend. He has a problem with his vocal cords, and he's red-haired. And boy, I mean, he goes off like a rocket, and he's lost his voice numerous times. And I sat him down. I said, I love you, brother. I said, you're a great preacher. But I said, truth whispered is still true. You can't go off like you do. You're going to have to, and he never did. He's out of the ministry. Destroyed his vocal cords. So what do you tell me? I am telling you, it is not compromised to tell the truth in a nice way. You cannot change the gospel. You cannot eliminate the offense of the gospel. Do you understand that? So what do? You tell them as lovingly as you can. You don't go, you're gone to hell. But you don't say there's no hell because that's offensive. You say, you can say this. I think you're one of the best people I've ever met. You've done this for poor people. You've done this for kids. You've done so many things. You did this trying to help what you thought would be good for God. You're one of the greatest people I've ever met. One of the great character. I am sorry to tell you this, but as good as you are, you're going to go to hell when you die if you don't take the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Guys, is that the truth? But I don't have to hit them over the head with it. And then when they get mad, go, they can't take the truth. The truth is hard enough, guys. Really. The truth is hard enough. You know why? You know why some of the fact that when you found out you were going to hell, you know why it wasn't such a shock for some of you? You knew you deserved it. And I wasn't being good. I was being bad. So when I figured out I was going to hell, it wasn't no big deal. It had been a big deal for me to find out some good person was going to hell. But I knew I was going. I knew I deserved it. But you got some people that are trying to be good. I mean, they are literally. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever, I have met this lady time and time again, here and there, different woman every time. Have you ever found a little old 70, 80-year-old Roman Catholic lady who loves God and is lost as a goose in a hailstorm and serving God the best way she can through a Roman Catholic church? I am sad. I am sad to tell her, you are still going to hell. I was a good wife. I'm glad you're a good wife. I was a good mother. I was a good grandmother. I'm glad. I'm serving God the best way I can. I'm glad you are. You're going to hell. There's an offense to that. You understand? But there will always be an offense. Here's where you're wrong. You're wrong if you're in some way going to shield them from the truth. You are wrong if you think you're going to alter the gospel. I'm going to find a way to say it so there's no offense. You're going to tell me that you're going to make that verse not true. That verse says there's an offense to the cross. We have to tell them the truth. We can tell them as nice as possible. We don't have to yell it. We don't have to scream it. We don't have to enjoy it. But we have to say it. Without taking Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as a soul complete payment for your sin, you're going to hell and you're never getting out. Nobody's praying you out and you're not climbing out yourself and all the candles in the world ain't going to help you. Well, that's not very nice. True. You know, let me tell you about this broken neck and I'll be done. I was working construction, stepped backwards on the second floor of a house, fell two stories, split my skull, broke my ribs, and I broke my neck. And they took me to the hospital. I wake up in the ER, and the ER doctor says the x-ray shows something wrong with your neck. He didn't tell me it was broken. Turned over to my doctor. My doctor was the guy you heard about who was practicing medicine because he had not perfected it. He never looked at the x-rays. I know he never looked at the x-rays because 3 months later when I saw the x-rays, you got 7 vertebrae. C6 was snapped like this. I mean, it was like a broken rung on a ladder. I could see it. And I'm no x-ray technician. So I'm sure he never looked at it. So he sends me back to work. So I worked for 2 months. 2 months with my neck broken. Construction. And I had trouble. My neck hurt. My arms go numb. I had pain in my arms. I keep going back to the same doctor. And he thought it was in my head. And I knew it was a little lower. And finally, I told Kathy this. I said, I've had it. We're going to a real doctor. I'm going to a chiropractor. And he will snap my neck. And I will be okay. He just snapped my neck and killed me. You know what he did? He x-rayed me. So he x-rays me. He sits me down in his office. And he goes, anybody ever tell you got a broken neck? Well, now, I like a good straight line. I said, well, not this week. He said, you got a broken neck. And I said, you're too negative. You shouldn't say something so offensive. I didn't want to hear that. Tell me something nice. You understand? You know what that guy did? He told. Is there anybody here would like to hear from a doctor, you have a broken neck? No. That's why I can walk today. He told me something I never wanted to hear. And it saved me. It saved me from being paralyzed from the neck down. I don't know if anybody's heard this, but people hear this. They go to a doctor. I'm not feeling very good. Yeah, it's because you got cancer. Oh, you shouldn't tell me that. That's not a very nice. Nobody wants to hear that. You shouldn't tell me that. That's not very nice. Tell me I have a cold. Tell me I have that. No, but you've got cancer. No, that's not very nice to say. You know, there are people alive today because the doctor told them something. Is there anybody? Do I have a volunteer? I want my doctor to tell me I got cancer. I don't want my doctor to tell me that. None of us want to hear that, right? But when they say it, it may be what saves our life. Nobody wants to hear you're going to die and go to hell if you don't trust Christ, your personal Savior. Nobody wants to hear that. But if we don't tell them that, man, come on, did you want to hear it? Some of you didn't want to hear it. Some of you got upset. So what happened? You're here in church, saved on your way to heaven, aren't you? Aren't you glad somebody told you? That guy, 50 times. I don't have that much of a burden, guys. I'm going to tell you the truth. I would not go back to a house 50 times, but that soul winner did. And 50 times, that guy threw him out the 51st time. Boy, don't you think he's glad for the 51st time? Sure is. He's glad. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ died, paid for your sins, rose again the third day? Yeah. Let me tell you something better than that. You're glad you accepted it. Because if you didn't accept it, that'd still be true. And you'd be on your way to hell. Isn't that right? So guys, the Bible says there's an offense to the cross. You know why? Because there's an offense to the cross. And there will always be an offense to the cross. If you, like a woman, try to take the offense out of the cross, you got a problem. So what do? You tell them the worst news they can get in the nicest way they can. But you have got to tell them the truth. There will always be an offense. We don't have to be offensive in the way we tell it. But don't ever step back from telling the truth. I have found this, and I'll be done. You ever talk to somebody you're witnessing and you think, oh man, if I tell them that, they're going to get so mad? But here's what I found. The truth will always find a way to the heart. And so I say, I hate to tell you this, but, and there it is. And it gets in. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to turn the invitation over to your pastor. And now, maybe there's somebody here this morning, you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Then let me tell you, the fact that you're here right now, that is very commendable. And if a plane flies into this building and we all die, we go to heaven, you go to hell. I don't care if you know three people in here that you're better than, maybe you're better than them. They still go to heaven, you still go to hell, because you haven't taken the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a soul in complete payment for your sin. And as I said earlier, church is a terrible place to go to hell from. So if by chance you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when the pastor starts this invitation, you know what you do? Step out, come down here, say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want that salvation. But most of you are saved. You better have a burden for the lost people around you, not just your friends, not just your family. Put the people that sit at the table next to you at the restaurant, the guy that parks next to you in a parking lot, somebody that you walk past in Walmart. You got to care. You ought to have gospel tracts on you. You ought to be able to pass those out, leave them where somebody can find them. You ought to have tracts on you at all times. And you're going to need to give the gospel. And somewhere you're going to give that gospel and somebody's going to get offended. If that happens, do not say, wow, I blew it. No. Say, did I give it in an offensive manner? And if you didn't, then say, then everything is as it should be. I told them the truth and they're offended by it. That is exactly what my Bible said would happen. But yet down the road, maybe they will get it turned around and get saved. So many people have gotten saved because they got mad and then got thinking. And so resolve yourself. Today, I am not going to worry about offending people. I didn't say try to offend them. I am not going to worry if the truth offends them. I'm going to give them the truth as the Bible prescribes in love. But I'm going to give them the truth. What they do with it is their business. But I'm going to give them the truth.